We'll just take an extra few minutes while Chloe finishes her biscuit. No, no. Oh dear. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to those brave people who've tested the ability of their parka or their jacket or their woolen scarf or their... I would have put my... I've got these really lovely fingerless gloves that are just fantastic, but I thought it would make me look like Steptoe. I know you don't remember Harold. I know you don't remember Harold Steptoe, but that's what I always think of when I wear fingerless gloves. So welcome to the Vines and our service. And sadly, it is Marty's last day with us. It has been great having Marty for 6 weeks, and now he and Naomi head off to take up a placement in Darwin. He's just going because it's warmer up there. On Thursday, he's heading off on Thursday. He's going to take a long time to get there, but they previously worked in Darwin, so they will enjoy their time. Just make sure you send us a letter or an email or something or other every now and again, you know. What is it? What do you say? The weather is fine, wish you were here, or wish you were, yeah, something like that. The weather is here, wish you were fine. Something like that. And in our grapevine this week, Marty teased us with the notion of, if you can't see something, is it really there? I'm itching to find out what that's going to be about. Really, really itching to find out. That's good. Let's stand up and sing a song called Jesus. Oh, you finished it, Vicky? Good. Jesus is our firm foundation. You just make sure you remember that. Let's go. Oh, must make sure that we introduce Ed again. Got the amazing Varel and Jen and Chloe. So we are ready to go. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go, let Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope.
I have a living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure. Look, come on, if we're going to sing this song, a firm foundation, you've got to sing it with a firm foundation. I have a living hope. We've got to go, I have a living hope. Let's try and start from the beginning. It was so beautiful playing. She hates this one. I was such beautiful playing, I'd like to do it again. From the top, ready, go, here we go. Sorry, Ken, can we do it from the top? Is that okay? Yes, you can. From the intro, even from the intro, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go now, here we go. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. Yes, I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy... Let's go, come on. I have a living hope.
I have
yes.
A living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
God has a plan for me. Of this I'm sure,
of this I'm sure.
Here we go, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful.
Your word is faithful.
Mighty with power.
God will deliver me.
Of this I'm sure.
Of this I'm sure.
Last time, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
I know you are moved to clap because the playing was so fantastic.
really, though, you want to just... Really, you know, you want to just clap your hands because it's going to make your hands warmer. Okay, the next song we're going to sing is May We Be One, Bound in Love Forever. Now that is a lovely thing to sing about. Let's see how we go. Here we go. May we be one, bound in love forever, growing close together day by day, growing as God fills us with His life. We are joined in Him, He makes us one. We be one as our Father planned it. May the love of Jesus make us strong. No one can harm us when He is near. He has brought us peace, He makes us one. May we be one, Jesus' truth to bind us, with His body He unites us all. Dying our death, He restores our life. Living with us now, He makes us one. Here we go. May we be one, sharing life together with the Father and His only Son. Now we have life in this world of death. Heaven has begun, He makes us one. Notices for today, and there's stacks. What is happening at this church in the month of May? We're just going gangbusters. It's just amazing. Amazing. Did you get it? Month of May, it's amazing. Pharrell's rolling her eyes, sorry. Don't forget that packing day is in June, and so if you've got some extra clothes that you wouldn't mind donating to people, there's a box in the foyer. The grow cart's out the front. It's been revamped. It's been renewed. If you've got some veggies or lemons, man, there's so many lemons. I think if you were sucking on a lemon, we wouldn't have our smiley faces. But you can suck on a lemon quietly to yourself. That's good. And you can pop that on the grow cart. Biggest morning tea is this Thursday. This Thursday, as part of Creative Connection, but you don't have to come and do craft. You just come and have a cuppa and a bicky and be amazed by Ted's scroll saw. Stuff, you look at it and you think, how does he do that? You've got to be joking. That's amazing. Last Friday in the month, that's the 28th, it's the 31st. 31st. 28th is Circle of Friends. 31st is Friday Friends. Last Friday of the month, come and have a cuppa with friends and whatever. Whatever is, we'll find out if there are going to be some other things happening. Come on, Chloe. Come on, Sam. I've just got to have a quick chat to you. You don't have to say anything, you just have to be looking amazed. What do you reckon these are? Rocks. Because we've got a song coming up, I go to the rock of my salvation, and I thought, why are we going to sing, what are we going to talk about rocks, if we're going to sing about rocks, what is the significance, do you think, of a rock in church? What do you reckon? Solid. Sometimes we make rock music. You get that? That's, I know, that's why I didn't do it for very long. It's not a solid rock. It's a sandstone or something or other, I think. So if I was a geologist... Yeah, it is rock music. So it is solid. So if we're talking about rocks, we're talking about something that's solid. My letterbox is not solid. My letterbox is leaning a little bit to the side. So when I fix it up in the year 2028, when I fix it up, I am hoping that I can make it a solid post that it's going to stand in. So I'll need something solid for it to be in. Maybe I could put some rocks there. That would be good. So what would be the opposite to rocks if I was looking for something that wasn't the same as rocks? Yep. Liquid. Very good. Yep. Liquid, Sam? Sand. That's very good. That's sandy. So we are talking about, I go to the rock of my salvation. If Ken was to pop the words up there, like, bing. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builder rejected. I go to the mountains and the mountains stand by me. So that's a song about solid rock, about us having something solid as a base, right? About us being ready to do whatever because we've got a solid base. Everybody has just sung a song that says, may we be one, and may we be one in God, and that's a solid base for us. Okay? We're not playing rock music, but we're going to sing about the rock. Okay, let's sing it. You ready? Come on. Let's go. Two, three, four.
We're going to need a shout.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builder rejected. Go to the mountains and the mountains stand by me. All around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Let's do it again. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Go to the mountains and the mountains stand by me. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock, I go to the rock.
Brilliant. That was fantastic. Now, we have got not one section of reading today, but we've got two. So sit back, because it's a bit of a long reading. It's a bit of a long reading. Let's hear the first reading from Sue. Thank you, Sue.
Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. The walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened to them and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sue.
We've come to that time in our service now where we pray for others. Just as a little introduction, I found something on the internet yesterday that explains this. So most of us know what intercessions are. Some people online that are looking may not know, understand what it is. So just a brief introduction and then into our prayers. Intercession or intercessory prayer is the act of praying to God on behalf of others. The Apostle Paul's exhortation to Timothy specified that intercession prayers should be made for everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." As I pray, if something comes into your mind, please pray it silently. And at the end, I will leave a little block for us to pray for people here at the Vines that are in our minds at the moment. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and thank you for the privilege of praying for others. We've been the recipient of others' prayers so often, we understand how powerful intercessory prayer can be. We ask you first to cleanse our hearts and show us if there is any unconfessed sin in our own lives so that our prayers for others will not be hindered. We thank you that through your name we can come boldly before you and pray with confidence according to your will and know that you hear us. We lift those in our neighbourhoods, in our city, and in this church. Begin with those who follow you and help them influence others for good. Let them be salt and light, pointing others to you. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. Guard them from hypocrisy or from giving in to temptations that could harm the cause of Christ. Raise up leaders who will serve you faithfully at all costs. Turn the hearts of fathers towards their children and families towards you. Help them to exemplify your values and make them bold in their faith. Strengthen our own families and those closest to us. May our love for you help us to love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. We pray for teachers, students, and for all those in authority and leadership, both locally and throughout the world. Give them your mind and surround them with godly counselors who will exercise integrity and work for justice, morality, and freedom. Help them to esteem you, not dismiss you. Send revival, Lord. We pray for the lost, the hurting, the lonely, the sick, the bereaved, and those who are imprisoned behind both visible and invisible walls. Send your comfort, your peace, and your calming presence to those who are without hope. Protect the defenseless and hold them close to your heart. I pray for labourers to tell the good news of Jesus to people around our world. Jesus, our heart cries out for persecuted believers too. Make them brave. Give them your powerful protection. We pray you will bring swift justice to those who want to destroy the innocent and those who carry your name. Bind the power of Satan and strengthen believers everywhere. If there's anything now that you would like to bring to him in silence, please do so. I ask a special blessing at the moment on Nancy Waitman and her husband Alan, as Nancy had a nasty fall during the week. We just pray for healing and comfort for them both now. So many needs, Jesus, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful and your power is great. So it's in your name that we pray and believe. Amen.
We're going to sing Make Way. Make way for Christ the King in splendour arrives. Fling wide the gates. I love the word fling. It's not just open them or push them. It is fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. Now, I know this is the teacher part of me, but can we sing Make Way, not May Quay? That's just me being fussy. So when we sing the chorus part, it's going to be Make Way. You don't have to sound like an elocution expert, but as long as we try and make a difference between make and way, okay? I'll be happy. Doesn't take much to make a bloke happy. Come on. Let's sing Make Way for Christ the King. Ready?
Make way.
bring forward the offering, and then we will have the other part of Sue's reading. Thank you. Good, put it up there and we'll say, oops, too many things for Sue to do at once. Can you sing, juggle and play the trombone as well? We give thanks, Lord, for our offerings, and let them go to the work for which they are intended. Amen.
The second reading is mercifully short. It's from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. And what it tells about are the results of justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Before I start, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here with us, to encourage us, to speak to us, and to lead us. And I pray you'd do exactly that. That you'd open our ears to hear what is being said today so that we can be inspired and leave this place, yeah, better prepared to take your word out into the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Rob, I'm sorry, but that devotion that you've talked about where there's a lot of things present here that we can't see actually made sense a week ago. But it just didn't seem to fit for my final service.
You can send it to me later.
Okay, right. So I'm going to talk about our journey as a church here, not just over the last 6 weeks since I've been here, but your journey over the last months and years, and the ups and downs that you've experienced here as the Vines Uniting Church. Now, journeying through life is something we all do. And we all have our good times, we all have our great times, but we also experience those times that we'd rather forget. Those times that we'd rather forget include simply times when we're feeling a bit down, everything's just a bit too hard, and other times when we've made bad decisions and then we have to deal with the fallout. And there are those times when everything just seems to go wrong. And we don't have control over those things. And circumstances, particularly for those who are having a few more birthdays under their belt, it often includes their health. And as the health of our friends deteriorate around us, and perhaps our own health, sometimes there's a time of sadness that goes with that, and a sense of, well, when will it be my turn? But one thing we can be thankful for as people who have a bit of an understanding of how God operates in our lives and in this world is how God uses our difficult times for good. And that's what this reading is all about. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Now, suffering in this reading is probably a bit strong for us here in South Australia, although some of you might disagree with me on that one. But all our difficult times teach us lessons that we can grow by. Actually, it's the difficult times that are the times that are the best opportunities to grow the most. And that's often because of those circumstances You know, during those difficult times, we're actually forced to deal with issues that we might not otherwise deal with. Because everything's going along smoothly, we don't have to deal with anything or think anything through. But when difficult times come, we're forced to have to reconcile that with our faith, with what's going on, with the future, with our hopes. And we're forced to deal with that. And as a result of that, we grow. And we grow in character. And that's what Paul is saying to the people of Rome. Now, in that other longer reading from Luke on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his mate, they were obviously close to the disciples, and they represented so many of the others who were involved in this new Jesus movement that was happening. They weren't part of the inner circle of the 11, but they knew exactly what was going on, and they were experiencing all the highs and lows of the life of Jesus, just like the apostles. Now, a week before this story, Cleopas and his mate would have been in the crowd waving palm branches as Jesus rode into Jerusalem as their new king, ready to overthrow the Roman government that was keeping them so oppressed. This was their hope for the long-awaited Messiah who had finally come to solve all their problems. And this was certainly a time of high hopes for all the followers of Jesus. But the week following, leading up to the celebration of Passover, that was a bit more tense. Their expectations were still high, but they also knew the power of the Romans. And he was a man they were believing more and more to be their new king, the long-awaited Messiah. You know, they had been singing out Hosanna to the Son of David, but Jesus was beginning to look more and more like an ordinary man as the Romans began to deal with him. So they were filled with this expectation and hope, but those expectations were tempered with speculation and fear, along with a whole lot of guesswork, which would have sounded like, well, what's going to happen next? So, in reality, it was their expectation that was the thing that stopped them actually seeing the hand of God at work, even when it was happening right in front of them. And that's what I want to bring to you today. This goes for us as individuals as well as you as a church body. We all have expectations of what the next hour will look like because we've planned what that next hour is going to look like. We all have expectations of what tomorrow will bring because on Monday I always do such and such. We have expectations of our spouse, what she or he will be like tomorrow, but sometimes that's a little bit more difficult to predict, isn't it, guys? And if these expectations are not met, or not something close to what we expect, like with our grandchildren and children, as they grow up, we sort of have expectations of what they're going to turn out to be like. And if it's nothing like what we'd expected, then we can get disappointed, maybe even disheartened and upset. And that can lead to some of those down times. Now, your journey as a church has had its ups and downs too. And from what I understand, there have been both good times and difficult times. And I guarantee these have had a lot to do with your expectations. For example, I think there's always an expectation that your next minister is going to be completely capable, a brilliant preacher, so compassionate, totally organised, a model of diplomacy, and perfect in every way. Not to mention the wisdom that oozes out of their pores, you know, of their skin. But you've learned, haven't you, over the years, that these expectations or hopes have fallen short of the reality of what you get. You found that you've had to support some of your ministers when you thought they would be supporting you. You found that they have not all been brilliant orators, or their pastoral care was not up to what you would have expected, or that some have been totally disorganised. Of course, that's just looking at the negative sides, because as with any person, including ministers, there's a lot of positives There are always a lot of positives that come along with a package. And I know that you've had plenty of positives too from each of your ministers. Now, you know those particulars much better than I do. But you are a strong, together bunch of followers of Jesus here at the Vines Uniting Church. And I'm sure a lot of that is because you've been nurtured well by faithful ministers. So your journey together as a church is very similar to the apostles and the disciples who had travelled with Jesus over the previous 3 years or so. You've had your ups and your downs individually as well as a church, just like the followers of Jesus. So what I'm saying is, don't be disheartened by difficult times. The disciples had a lot of them, a lot of those moments that they were not proud of. And we all know Peter and his outspoken declarations about Jesus and his amazing fall from grace when he made those bad decisions to deny him. We read about the closest disciples to Jesus falling asleep when Jesus had asked them to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we remember the disciples weren't able to cast out the demons from this little boy. And their fear of the storm when they were out on the boat drove them to, you know, say, Jesus, help us. And which Jesus did finally calm. And we remember them running away and hiding after Jesus was arrested. And even after some of them had witnessed the open tomb and they'd been told of Jesus' resurrection, they still hid behind locked doors. We all have our moments. In any journey of life together, we have our emotional ups and downs. We all have those times when our faith is as strong as, and other times when our doubts seem to rule us. But what I'm saying is we can use all of those times as opportunities to learn and to grow. Now, I know that's easier said than done, especially when you're in the middle of those emotional times, or when the pain from that medical condition is worse. But let me remind you, when these times come, and they will, let me encourage you to watch out for the good that God will bring out of them. You know, after seeing this for myself so many times, I begin to look for the positives when I'm right in the middle of this myself. And that gives me a sense of hope and a way out of my doldrums. You all know I've been suffering with an asthma issue for the last couple of weeks. And I could easily sink into feeling sorry for myself, or I could look forward to the day when it's going to clear up. And that's a choice I make. And it's a choice that you can make too in the middle of difficult times. Now, in this time of history in the 21st century, we have the wisdom of hindsight of the with the disciples. And we know about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And this was certainly a high point for the disciples' walk with Jesus. Even though Jesus had gone, all they had been told was, just wait till you receive power from on high. So really, they had no expectations. They didn't know what was coming. There was no precedent as to what would happen and what would follow. And then the Holy Spirit did come in power, and it continued on the work of Jesus through them. And as we read through the book of Acts and the story about the followers of Jesus and how they handled themselves, there is a really obvious change. It seems like they were able to respond a whole lot more powerfully after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think of Peter preaching to that crowd of 3,000 people and how they all gave their hearts to the Lord. That's 3,000 men it was, so which equates to probably 10,000 men, women and children. That was a high point. Think of Philip jumping onto the chariot with that Ethiopian who had the scroll of Isaiah open and trying to understand it. And Philip explained it to him and then later down the track spontaneously baptized him. Another high point. And think of Peter receiving that vision about nothing being unclean, just in time for a Roman centurion called Cornelius to come knocking at his door. I mean, who would have thought that all people not just the Jews, were included in this new covenant. But that's what God showed Peter through this dream. And who would have thought that the Spirit would lead people in so many different ways, in ways that they were not used to, way past their expectations. And as a consequence, people were transformed and healed and became followers of Jesus, empowered to do things that were way out of their own comfort zone. Sure, these disciples had their regrettable times. I mean, you think of Paul, or Saul at that time, who was actually responsible for the persecution and death of so many followers of Jesus. And then he became Paul, but his history did not stop him from being used by God. It was as they became more open to being used by the Spirit of God in their lives, as they left aside their preconceived ideas about how God worked and left themselves be open to be led in new ways by God's Spirit, that's when God was able to use them and fulfill his purposes through them. If we can do that, if we can journey through this life, through our faith journeys, through our ups and our downs, through those times we want to forget, if we can learn from those times, learn from our history, expect the unexpected, and not only expect things to happen according to our own experiences, then God will be able to use us so much more easily. In reality, our own experience and our own personal expectations are so narrow compared to the huge range of ways that God can make things happen. It would be naive to think that my experience is the total sum of how God can work. The story of the disciples after Pentecost is one of spontaneity, of being led by God in ways they had not done before, of thinking and acting outside the box. And there's no reason why this can't be your story as individuals and as a church. God has his unfolding plans for this place. Just watch God bring a whole lot of new life to this place over the coming months and years, if you're open to new things. And don't just stay with the way things have always been. That's one of the sayings I've heard in churches around the place. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Ooh, that rubs me up the wrong way. It's a detestable phrase. Please don't even imply that, because what it's saying is I don't want to be open to anything new that God wants to do. I want to stay in my safe and comfortable place. You know, that's not how God operates. I mean, Pentecost and the beginnings of the church would never have happened if that was the approach that the disciples would have taken. So this is my prayer for you, that as you allow God to lead you outside the box, that you'll be ready and willing to do whatever new things God brings your way. And the bumps along the way, and there will be those, will be how God will teach you and prepare you for what is to come. Rejoice in the good times and learn from the bad. Let's pray. Jesus, you've been living and moving amongst us ever since we arrived in this place, and you continue to dwell in your people here at the Vines. We've not always been so faithful to you in our prayer life, in our desire to serve you with the gifts you have given us, and in the relationship you have put in front of us to build on. Jesus, in fact, I have mucked up so many of these opportunities, and I have not been in tune with your Holy Spirit. Instead, I have been more concerned about I, me and myself, and only what I understand. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me for all these narrow ways of being open to you, and for all the other ways I've let you down and disappointed you. I give myself to you now and pray that you would teach me how to respond according to your Spirit's promptings and not just my own. Teach me the lessons I need to learn from the difficult times in my life, and rejoice with me in the good times. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me read to you a little bit from Colossians 2. God has forgiven us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. This God set aside, nailing it to the cross. In other words, your sins are forgiven you. Amen. And we're going to sing a song about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, which is the next song that we're going to sing, if the guys want to come up.
It's a fairly straightforward song. We haven't done it millions of times. In fact, I think we might have done it once. But it's a very, very simple song saying, we keep our eyes on you. Keeping our eyes on you. Let's go. Yep. Sorry, start again. I hiccuped. Sometimes we learn from our mistakes. Marty's just told me that. Sit down, Marty. Don't try and keep on going if you're...
One more little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Finish with a benediction that's straight from the book of Jude 20. Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. To him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Just have a seat. Just some final remarks, because I don't like to say goodbye to people that I've grown close to, but I guess that time has come. But I'd like to send you out with a blessing that was written by an old friend of mine, Robin and Dorothy Mann, and by a friend of theirs, Aubrey Podlick. And it's one of my favourite blessings, if you like. Often they call it a Christmas blessing. I've never worked out why. But I'd love us to sing that together as a way of me to bless you and you to bless me. So let's sing this together.
Sounds like good. We just happened to have worked that one out. How about that? That's good. 1, 2, 3.
Stay seated. It's fine.
I've mentioned before that I like to have the last word. Don't I? So, we can't just let it finish right there. We need to say thank you to Marty, who stepped in for us when we needed him. And I just think it would be appropriate to take this opportunity to thank him for his support and encouragement over the last 6 weeks. We've appreciated your presence at all the gatherings that we've expected you to come to. And as your messages have inspired, challenged, directed us, that has been part of our own spiritual journey, and we thank you for that. I particularly am sad, and I'm sure you are, that the last 2 weeks have been quite a challenge for Marty, and we just hope and pray that you soon will be very much on top of all of this. Has to drive to Darwin on Thursday, so please keep him and Naomi in your prayers. And just pray that the time in Darwin will be a blessed time as you and Naomi and the congregation in Darwin work together to bring the message of Jesus to so many people who desperately need it as we talk about the world in which we live. So it is with sadness. We feel just got to know you and now you're going, but thank you for all that you've done for us over these 6 weeks, and thank you for the blessing, and we would reiterate that that blessing be yours also as you move into the next stage of your journey.
Thank you.
And I feel that this is, it's sort of good and bad, because I don't kind of like to add on to the end of that, but just to let you know that God is continuing to bless us, and we have been given a new supply minister who will come next Sunday and begin his ministry with us. This is a transition time for him and for us, because he is trying to discern the next stage of his journey, and we are fitting in the gap in that discernment process. So who knows where God will take this. So the Reverend Gary Martin will be starting with us next Sunday, and we will just see where God goes with that, because God takes us in mysterious ways sometimes, and we just trust and believe that just as Marty was right for these 4 weeks, as Trevor was right, Gary is right for us in the next stage of this journey. So look forward to that.